This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney. You're listening to the best of America Tonight. Welcome to America Tonight. Hi, everybody. Coming up in this hour of America Tonight, we got some great conversations that are going to happen with some terrific guests, including Pradeep Berry. Imagine coming to the United States with $7 in your pocket and then making the most of it and meeting an American woman, starting an incredible life. And it's an amazing love story that he's written, a book called My Connie. But he started off working in a sandwich shop across from Second City. And then Delatora McNeil joins us, one of my pals, who is a guy that believes everybody should learn how to speak in public, because they say, you know, that taxes and speaking in public are the two things, and death, that people fear. I guess the three things, right? Taxes, death, and speaking in public is right up there. Nobody wants to do that. No, don't make me speak. No. So anyway, he is tremendous, and he's going to join us for our Forbes Books at Bedtime segment. And then we're going to have a mailbag mixed in here, too, because you have, once again, overwhelmed me with the amount of mail that you've sent in. So we're going to make sure that we get to you, and, yeah, that other guy in the back. And that'll be fun, too. So a lot coming up on this hour of America Tonight. But right from the get-go, coming up next week, as we know, the president is going to Japan and also South Korea. There's a lot of questions about North Korea. And will he visit the DMZ? Will he be there at that line, somewhere near that? And there's no answer to that question yet at this point. We haven't heard the answer to that. So we don't know. It'll unfold as it unfolds, unless we get word somehow a little bit sooner. In the meantime, there still are questions about this convoy that was separated during that ambush in Niger. And it's so sad because those four soldiers were killed, and there were 12 Green Beret-led teams. They were ambushed by ISIS militants this month. They just became separated. They were traveling with Nigerian soldiers when they were attacked by about 50, and this is what wasn't known before, 50 ISIS-affiliated fighters armed with rocket-propelled grenades. We knew they had that. But 50 of them, mortars, heavy machine guns, so they were just sitting ducks. They were outnumbered and just, despite being outnumbered and outgunned, the Nigerian force had only rifles. So they managed to kill 20 ISIS guys during that horrific attack. But they didn't have the firepower. It lasted for hours. 5 Nigerian soldiers, by the way, were also killed in that. So they're talking about this convoy that was separated and how that happened, and then how the body of the one sergeant became separated from the rest of the team. And, boy, oh, boy, just a scary, sad, awful ending for these brave men, of course, knowing that the situations can get really hairy there. But they were trying to get more of the details on what it was. They were driving, we already knew this, in unarmored pickup trucks, which isn't uncommon for Green Beret-led military advisors to not wear body armor when they're, you know, accompanying the host nation forces in low-threat areas. So that's the other part of this question that's being discussed. And you'd think, gosh, low-threat areas, it just doesn't seem that way to me. But overall, when you look at the map and where they were headed, that's exactly what they believed. And that would made them the perfect target for the ISIS scumbags, because, of course, they're going to pick them off there. If you're going to go after somebody, if you're going to go after a convoy, you're going to find them there. You're going to find them in the place where they're the most vulnerable. And obviously they knew the route. They knew what was happening. They had to have known something. And that's what they that's what they did. They picked them off. They knew it. JFK and conspiracy theories. I live not too far from where Kennedy was killed. I did not grow up in the area, but I don't live too far from it. And boy, there's all over the place outside of the book depository where he was going by and then, of course, was killed all those many years ago. Well, the CIA mulled through mafia hits on Cuban President Fidel Castro. Someone called the FBI, threatening to kill Lee Harvey Oswald the day before Oswald's murder. There's all kinds of things. There's all kinds of assertions and stories and everything else. So there's this 25-year deadline in the making. The National Archives on Thursday evening released a bunch of JFK files, but President Trump blocked the release of some documents, at least temporarily, citing national security concerns, leaving researchers, conspiracy theorists, and onlookers who were waiting for this to sift through what was there, but are not excited that they didn't get their hands on everything. Now, what was there includes a 1975 document from the Rockefeller Commission detailing the CIA's role in foreign assassinations, and the plans to assassinate Castro were underway in the early days of the Kennedy administration. The report said Attorney General Robert Kennedy, the president's brother, told the FBI he learned the CIA had an intermediary to approach Sam Giancana with a proposition of paying $150,000 to hire some gunman to go to Cuba and kill Castro. That's always been asserted that that might have been what happened. There was a document from 1963. That showed FBI Director J. Edgar Hoover addressing the death of Oswald at the hands of Jack Ruby, where he says there's nothing further on the Oswald case except he's dead. So that would be November 24th, 1963. And, there were plane parts. So there was a National Security Council document from 1962, before Kennedy was assassinated, that referenced Operation Mongoose, which was a covert attempt to topple communism in Cuba. And in the 3 minutes of a secret meeting on Operation Mongoose, General Marshall Carter said the CIA would examine the possibilities of sabotaging airplane parts, which were scheduled to be shipped from Canada to Cuba. And then I'll just give you one more. There was a top secret document from 1975 for the Rockefeller Commission outlining the testimony of former CIA Director Richard Helms. And in that transcript, Helms said he thought former President Richard Nixon believed the CIA was responsible for the death of the South Vietnamese president who died following a coup linked to the CIA. So some interesting documents that, again, a lot of people were very, very curious to see and to learn more details, especially anything to do with the Kennedy assassination and what was hidden and what isn't hidden and what is believed to have happened. And again, when you talk about conspiracy theories, it doesn't get much bigger than the Kennedy assassination. Were there more gunmen? Were there more people that were involved in other areas who wanted to have their sights on Kennedy? And the list goes on and on and on. All right, stay with us. Coming up next, Prod Deep Theory is coming up. Also, Delatora McNeil. And we're going to hit the mailbag here on America Tonight.
Ted Anderson telling you about Jordan Rubin's Beyond Organic Green Fed Raw Cheddar Artesian Cheese featuring whole milk created through ancient dairy breeding. Unpasteurized, untreated whole milk on the same farm the cows graze. Containing natural sources of omega-3s, CLA protein, calcium, probiotics, and enzymes. I have never tasted cheese this good, and you need to try it. Contact your Youngevity distributor or call 877-878-4203 or go to gcnteam.com.
Kiss your credit card debt goodbye. I'm Pharmacist Keith. Dr. Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, and myself want to show you how to achieve financial peace, creating an extra income that will last for years to come by joining Dr. Wallach's crusade, spreading his message of better health. To learn more, visit radio.recordedvideo.com. That's radio.recordedvideo.com, radio.recordedvideo.com, or call 866-257-3105 for a recorded message.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey Guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Kiyosaki, Rogers, and Schiff all concur there's an economic calamity that'll be facing this country. My question to you is, do you know when and are you prepared? Most people don't, but my friends over at Republic Monetary Exchange have been leading experts in precious metals to help you offset the coming economic collapse. Right now, for a limited time, they have a free book called The 10 Reasons You Should Own Gold. You simply need to give them a call at 888-772-2929 to get that in your hands. Do not allow the insiders to do what they did to you in 2008, putting your IRAs, 401ks, and savings in jeopardy. You need this book, and you need it now. The 10 Reasons You Should Own Gold. Call 888-772-2929. That's 888-772-2929. There's a reason that the largest investment banking company in the world, J.P. Morgan, just purchased another 50 million ounces of silver. This free book will explain it. 888-772-2929.
Want revenge on the common housefly? Well, after 10,000 years, someone has finally come up with a better way. The Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun, which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic and no batteries required. $39.95 plus shipping and handling. Use discount code GCN and receive 15% off your purchase at bugassault.com. Fire your fly swatter and get your Bug Assault today.
Welcome to Forbes Books at Bedtime with Kate Delaney and Greg Stebbin.
Recently, Warren Buffett has officially gone on record to say that his public speaking course was probably the greatest business class he ever took. So today, we're going to talk with a presentation skills expert who also happens to be a top-ranked peak performance expert, Delatora McNeil, about how we can take our public speaking and presentation skills to the next level. Who doesn't want that? Who doesn't need that? Delatora, thanks so much for joining us.
Kate, George, thanks so much for having me. It's a tremendous honor to be with you today.
So tell us a little bit about your journey that's led you to this place of being a top speaker and also obviously a speaker trainer.
You know, this has actually been a pretty long journey for me. I started when I was 4 or 5 years old. My mom was an English teacher. She was a Sunday school teacher. So if you were going to be Olivia's son, you had to be articulate. You had to speak. So I remember getting the longest parts in the Easter play and Christmas play and all kinds of things. And so my mom raised me to be articulate. Now, I asked her years later when I became a speaker, did she know that she was raising a professional speaker? And she said, I have no clue, baby. But I give a lot of credit and honor to my mom because she was way more than a parent. She was my first mentor. And I was able to go on to do pretty good in school. I went to Florida State University. I got a bachelor's and master's degree in 5 years with a 4.0 with zero student loan debt. And I learned in college that I had leadership capabilities. And as a result of being a student leader in college, I had to do a lot of public speaking. For orientation, for residence life, for a lot of different organizations I was a member of, I had to do a lot of public speaking. And so my mentor in college was a guy by the name of Dr. Lee Jones, and he told me to get involved in Toastmasters. So interestingly enough, Kate, I became a member of Toastmasters in graduate school in college. And I started going to weekly meetings, and I kept winning the best speaker award. And I'm like, man, this is pretty cool. And so I knew one day that I wanted to be a speaker, but I'm like, I have to have a career in something first. So I came out of college and took a career working for Anderson, which is a big peak performance consulting organization. Worked there for 1 year, and that didn't work out. So I took a job at the University of South Florida, and I worked there for 2 years teaching public speaking. And I was like, man, this is what I'm supposed to do. So I taught at the university for 2 years. And in 2003, I left the university and went full-time as a speaker. And I've been full-time ever since, and I've had a chance to give over 3,000 paid presentations all around the world. I was inducted as a CSP, the Certified Speaking Professional designation. I'm one of the youngest in the world to earn that at the age of 33 when I got it. And I had a chance to I've created my own inspirational business reality television show called The Keynote. And this year, I was opening keynote speaker for the Toastmasters World Convention in British Columbia, Vancouver, Canada. So we've done a tremendous amount in the area of public speaking and presentation. And year to date, we've literally personally mentored over 300 C-suite executives, speakers, authors, and entrepreneurs, and helped them get a fast start in the professional speaking industry.
You know, it's interesting, Del Toro, when I hear you speak about how you got to where you are today. I mean, it's always interesting to hear where people get their quote-unquote big break. And your big break came, it sounds like, from an organization that anybody can join today, which is Toastmasters. And just as an aside, I have to tell the both of you how significant the role of Toastmasters has been in my life. I was a Toastmaster for a lot of years. I think I do well in the medium of radio because of it. There's a thing called table topics where you get put on the spot and you have to speak, you know, extemporaneously or spontaneously, which is what we're doing right now, right? But I just want to share with you guys one other thing that came out of a visit I had with I was visiting some friends in a city. They were Toastmasters. I went to their Toastmasters club and I fell in love, love at first sight, with a woman in their club, and she's now my wife. So if you've ever thought about going to a Toastmasters club to make a dramatic change in your life, I think between the two of us we can say great things can happen there if you just show up.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you know what? Warren Buffett agrees with you because he actually requires all of his top business students to take a Toastmasters international course. So it's really, really remarkable. It's so funny, Greg, that you mentioned that. And that's a powerful story. I actually had a cinematographer follow me around at the World Convention because it was 20 years later after joining Toastmasters in college that I had a chance to be the opening keynote for the World Convention and speak to Toastmasters from all over the world, from 120 countries. It was remarkable. So we captured that, and we're working on a documentary right now. But I firmly believe that any business professional who wants to take their presentation skills to the next level really needs to spend a little time in a Toastmasters course, because it's a great organization to help you polish your public speaking and presentation skills.
Del Toro, of all the people, because you talked about this, you talked about the C-suite, the 300 C-suite people that you've really mentored, let's face it, and took them through that journey, and so many other people that you've influenced on this speaking path and teaching them presentation, you know, how to have these powerful presentations. What do you find people are the most intimidated about when you first deal with them in any of the classes or any of the retreats or anything that you hold?
It's a remarkable question, Kate. And the number one thing, if people say they have, because you got to realize, public speaking is the number one fear in America, Canada, other parts of the world. But what I've learned and realized, and this is so powerful, I've never read this in a book, I firmly believe this, people don't have a fear of public speaking. They have a fear of other fears associated to public speaking. In other words, people have a fear of being judged. People have a fear of being critiqued. People have a fear of not looking good. People have a fear of not sounding good. People have a fear of their own voice. People have a fear of too many eyeballs out. People have a fear of their PowerPoint going down. People have a fear of technology failing them. What I've realized is that most people, when I ask them, I say, what are you really afraid of when it comes to giving your presentation? Well, I just don't want to look bad. I don't want to sound bad. I don't want people to like my outfit. I don't want my technology to not work. So it's not a fear of public speaking. It's really, that is a blanket for like 20 other fears that people have that they kind of disguise as public speaking. And so what I help people understand is that they need to replace the word "I'm nervous" with this. You have a healthy anticipation of an incredible outcome. I guarantee you, if you begin to start to say, you know what, instead of saying, oh my gosh, those feelings I get in my stomach are nerves and I'm nervous. No, say, you know what, I'm excited, I'm pumped, I'm charged, I have a healthy anticipation of an incredible outcome, I'm getting ready to rock this presentation. And if you say that to yourself, you look in the mirror and say, I am incredible, I know my material, I know my content, I'm getting ready to go serve this audience, and they are going to get a massive amount of value out of what I have to share. When you come from that place, attitude is everything. I guarantee you'll present better.
We're talking with Del Toro L. McNeil. He's ranked one of the best motivational speakers in the world. And Del Toro, I want to ask you this really important question to follow up on what you just said, which is, you know, what is the cost to me if I don't do what it takes to become a better speaker? How does it impact my career? How does it impact my ability, if I'm a manager, to manage my people, to move up? And, you know, if you look at my story, it might even be impacting your personal life. I met my wife at a Toastmasters club. What are the costs of not doing what you're suggesting?
The costs are astronomical, and that's an incredible question, Greg, because here's what I firmly believe. There is a massive misconception in the business marketplace that I want to correct in this interview. Most times when I ask people, do they need to work on their public speaking and presentation skills, they say, yes, I do. But they automatically followed up with, but I don't want to be a Les Brown. I don't see myself as a Tony Robbins. I don't see myself as a Kate Delaney. I don't see myself as a Maya Angelou. I don't see myself as Oprah. And what they don't understand is that they're confusing the industry with the skill set. And you can't confuse the industry with the skill set. The truth is, public speaking and presentation is a skill. Just like negotiation is a skill. Leadership is a skill. Project management is a skill, right? Networking is a skill. Public speaking is a skill. And so if you choose to not develop the skill, it has astronomical impacts on your career, because the truth is, people that have strong presentation skills earn 65% more than those that don't. Studies also let us know that you're more promotable. You are more recession-proof. You're more cross-trainable if you have the ability to be the one to give the sales presentation, to give the summary of the meeting, to give the analysis of the activity, to be the one to rally the team. If you are the one in your organization that can give the presentation, you're seen as more credible, more confident, more valuable to the organization. And the truth is, even in everyday life, whether we're parents, whether we're dating, whether we're on Facebook Live, whether we're on Twitter, whether we're on Instagram, we're all doing public speaking every single day, whether you're in front of an audience of one or whether you're in front of an audience of 100,000. It does not matter. Every day we're using the skill, whether we realize it or not. When you go into the post office and you ask for your package to be shipped and you're speaking to someone on the other side of the counter and 10 people are behind you waiting, that's public speaking. So the truth is, we're constantly doing it, whether we realize it or not. Every time a waiter or waitress comes up to you and tells you about the restaurant and tells you about the specials, that was a speech. So the truth is, we're constantly doing it, whether we acknowledge it or not. So the cost is astronomical if we don't develop our skill set.
Yeah, it's interesting. I love your example. Boy, this has been so good that we want to have you back for a second part. Can we do that, Delatoro?
I'd be honored.
Yeah, and we'll talk more about some of the things that people could probably apply right now to take their presentation skills to the next level. As you say, you make such a great point when you're talking about everybody has these fears, and some of them are unfounded, but also the fact that, you know, whether you're a waiter or a waitress, that's a great example, you're still dealing with the public, you're still speaking, and there's just so many, many misconceptions. So this has been fantastic, Greg. We're going to bring Delatoro back for another edition of Forbes Books at Bedtime.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FIVESTARSOAP.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
Attention type 2 diabetics. If you or a loved one has taken Invokana, Invokamet, or Invokamet XR or other inhibitors for type 2 diabetes and suffered amputation of the toes, feet, or legs, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA has warned that Invokana, Invokamet, or Invokamet XR and other inhibitors for type 2 diabetes cause an increased role in amputations of the toes, feet, and legs. If you or a loved one has taken Invokana, Invokamet, or Invokamet XR or other inhibitors for type 2 diabetes and suffered amputation of the toes, feet, or legs, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-475-7607. That's 800-475-7607. Again, 800-475-7607. Call now.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. www.injuryhelpdesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Welcome to Forbes Books at Bedtime with Kate Delaney and Greg Stebbin.
We're back again with Anna Layada, and we're talking about, of course, generations and the differences and whatnot. And Anna, last time you were explaining to us about engagement and millennials, and I thought it was fascinating as you were talking about mentoring, and mentoring up and mentoring down and mentoring across. I understand mentoring up and down, but what is mentoring across?
So mentoring across is coming from the perspective that everyone has something to contribute. And so what we typically have seen with our baby boomers' formative experiences in the workplace is that people worked in silos and you only learned what was in your department and you didn't stick your nose in other people's business because that's not what you had been hired to do or paid to do. Our millennials come in and they want to have a 360-degree view of an organization. And so from the very beginning, they're learning what they were hired for, but they're looking to see across the way what else is available. So we want to be giving them a transparent, clear view through the organization because they may have started in, say, accounting, but they didn't know that they had a little marketing flair that they'd like to explore. And so, on average, our baby boomers got on with a company for 20-plus years. Our Gen Xers got on with a company, and as free agents, they stayed between 7 to 13 years. But our millennials get on with a company, and they will have between 13 and 26 different careers. So their trajectory at an organization that doesn't allow them to mentor across and mentor up and down and look at how they can map out their career GPS is about 6 months to 18 months. So if you allow them from the very beginning to look across, to learn from others, whether it's up, down, or around, they will actually stay longer. The number one reason that millennials report leaving organizations is because they were not being developed. Number one reason, it wasn't money, and it wasn't even work-life balance, although they want both of those. But they very strongly believe that they need to be developed. Gallup just put out a report that will be available for purchase later, and they were looking at, okay, what's the number one thing? Over 70% of millennials said, I'm leaving because I don't feel like I'm being developed.
So, you know what's interesting, Anna, and I'm going to go back to something you said in our previous segment with you. You talked about your, did you call her your bonus mom?
I did.
I love that.
She was a gift to our family.
I love that.
She took us on.
So your bonus mom grew up, she was your biological mother passed away and your father remarried, and this is now his new wife, mm-hmm. your bonus mom.
Mm-hmm.
And she was a depression child, and mm-hmm. so at a family gathering for the 973 people in your family, since you have 19 siblings,
right, yeah,
and a huge number of siblings, nieces and nephews, and grandnieces and nephews, your bonus mom is wiping the tinfoil clean so she can reuse it. And you know what struck me as you were walking through that story is that I could also see a millennial doing that, but for a different reason. So a depression child would be doing it because of scarcity, but actually, it's kind of the same thing. A millennial might do it because of a different kind of scarcity, not a personal scarcity, but a ecological, global scarcity, right? It's a resource that we could save and reuse. And so I'm wondering, do you think, first of all, I think the idea of codes is really brilliant. I mean, the minute you said that, so many things made sense to me that I had grappled with in the past. So I think you're absolutely right. It's not just a great way of saying it. I think it's completely accurate. But do you see that codes, kind of like fashions, will actually come back? Will we see another Gen X-like generation? Will we see another Depression-era-like generation?
Ah, what a brilliant question. Absolutely. In my book, Unlocking Generational Codes, I take you through the 80-year social mood cycle that we have gone through in the U.S. over 19 generations, over 19 times in the generations, because we have 19 generations since the inception of the U.S. And each one of those 80-year cycles have four social moods inside of them. Mm. And the archetype that is developed during that social mood in that era is consistently coming back. It's consistently coming around again. And so our millennials as an archetype are a hero archetype. The last time we had the same social mood as the millennials have grown up under was our GI generation. Mm. They were a hero archetype. They want to do great things. They want to rise to the challenge. And so what's really brilliant is we can understand that the Gen Z globals coming after the millennials are an artist archetype, and pluralism and narrowing the gap between the have and the have-nots is going to be their mission. So you are absolutely right that we will see this again, but the generational codes addresses how their formative experiences will have them react a little bit differently. And when we understand that, yes, the GI generation that my bonus mom was and the millennials have the same archetype, so they come at the same problem, and there's a very similar way of approaching it, but why they're doing it is different.
Right.
Millennials are conserving for the environmental and looking at the imprint, and for the GI generation, it was more of a survival phenomenon. And so many generations have many things in common, and where the power for a leader is when you understand the code, you understand the drivers. It's not that there aren't things that baby boomers dreamed of and Gen Xers desired, now millennials demand. For instance, work-life balance. Our baby boomers say, We wanted work-life balance. We dreamed of it. We talked about it. But we had 80 million peers. Gen Xers say, we desired it, right? But there was only 44 million, and there was a tsunami of a, you know, labor pool called baby boomers. And now millennials come in, and they demand work-life balance because they're going to be working into their 80s. But guess what? Work-life balance flows and serves all of the generations. When we recalibrate and we put that in, it helps Gen Xers, and it helps baby boomers, and it definitely will help the globals.
So it's interesting. I have an even greater appreciation for your talking about the generations with a code, because I realize now that when you codify something, it's data, right? I mean, you've actually given me a data-driven approach to viewing a generation, which is so much better than, I hate you all. No, that's not
that's
useful.
Right.
Let me quantify what's going on to my benefit and to their benefit. And that's what a code is really another word for an algorithm, right? You've essentially created a generational algorithm.
Exactly. And it's very funny because a lot of Gen Xers in particular will say, I'm not a Gen Xer, I'm just me. I don't, I'm not part of anything.
Which is such a Gen X thing to say.
It's exactly part of their generational code. And at the end of a lot of my speeches and presentations, Gen Xers will come up and they're kind of sheepishly saying, I feel a little weird, you just described my life. And it's relieving to them to understand that that code or algorithm is something that they can actually bring from the background to the foreground and now have facility in operating inside of it, because instead of it running them, they now recognize, oh, here are the variables making up that algorithm. Now I get it, and I can choose to, you know, work with the variables, I can adjust the variables, but now it's not something that is, you know, operating in spite of me.
Wow, so it's interesting. We see on and now that there are a lot of companies that do telecommuting and a lot of people that work from home, and there's a lot of entrepreneurs. So the younger, I'm going to say the younger generations and the last two we described, so the globals, for example, and the millennials, do they desire connectedness among people, or are they okay with sort of this telecommuting?
Excellent question. So millennials are okay with telecommuting up to a point, because one of the things about their generational code is that they are very social. So they need the time to come together with their peeps, their people, their peers. They very much enjoy being around other people, and too much isolation can actually be a problem. And yet, they want the flexibility to say, tell me what you want by when you want it, and then let me get the work done. Don't measure me by FaceTime. Don't measure me if you just see me, line of sight management, which our boomers grew up with. They say, if I get it in on time as promised, then why do you care where I was when I did it? But they do need the social connection of coming together at times. And so that's why a lot of organizations now are going to the point where they have a lot of touchdown spots within their organization. I have the fortune of doing a lot of work with Amazon right now, and it's not about the office and having the corner office that our baby boomers would have wanted. It's about having a place that you can plug in when you're together, but then lots of casual collaboration spaces where you can get together with peers and you can actually connect. So they actually really like the choice. That's a DNA piece for millennials. I want to have options, and so I want the choice of being able to come in and collaborate in the same space, but I want the freedom of being able to get my work done from anywhere. Work is not a destination for millennials. Work is something you do from where you are. That's part of their talent code.
Wow, I love that. We have like a minute left, and sometimes, well, in fact, a lot of times we ask our guests this question. What is it that keeps you up at night?
I think the thing that keeps me up at night is that people are seeing themselves in conflict to each other because they don't understand each other. And the problems that we have to solve will not be solved from conflict. They will be solved from collaboration. They will be solved from understanding and being in harmony and in flow with each other. And so I think that the problem is, if we see each other as our adversaries or our problems, we will not get the job done.
Wow, so well said. Anna Layada, thank you so much. This was really a pleasure. We'll have to have her back on. What do you think, Greg?
Well, okay.
Okay.
I have 100 more questions to ask you. Yes, we
have answers.
I love, thanks for joining us on Forbes Books at Bedtime.
Thank you, Kate.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry My Pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
BuySellMakeOffer.com is better than ever. I'm Pat Matthews, here to tell you that BuySellMakeOffer.com, the revolutionary site for buying and selling anything and everything, just upped the ante. Go right now to BuySellMakeOffer.com and click the Sign Me Up button. When you do, you'll get the first month free, and then it's just $9.95 a month to be a member forever. And you don't need a credit card for the initial setup. Create your own store on the site and sell whatever you want, as long as it's legal, however you want, and sell an unlimited number of items. Create your own intro video to describe what your store is all about. Use Skype to see who you're buying from or selling to. Sell unused household items, as well as antiques, cars, televisions, collectibles, real estate. The possibilities are unlimited. Use social networks to promote your store right from our site. Remember, there are never any fees, no matter how much you sell. Become a member today. I'm a member. Get all your friends to sign up, too. This could become a great business for you. Sell whatever you want for the first 30 days free at BuySellMakeOffer.com.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level. That's advertise.gcnlive.com.
ProPure water filters, most trusted, most tested. Right now you can save 25% on the ProPure Nomad Gravity System. Visit an authorized ProPure dealer for details. That's P-R-O-P-U-R.
Mail, letters, papers, and packages delivered by carrier, train, and plane, sent and delivered through post, regardless of sunshine or rains.
Once again, the America Tonight mailbag is so full, so I don't want to waste any more time. I want to jump right to it right now. And again, thank you so much for all of your emails. First up, Karen. Karen says, Kate, I know you're a baseball fan or a sports fan or whatever it might be. I'm wondering, and I'm probably answering my own question, if you perhaps saw the Astros beat the Dodgers last night, how exciting was that with those home runs at the end of the game? I'm not even a sports fan, but I was tuned in. Well, yeah, you just said it. You weren't even a sports fan, but you tuned into it because it was mega drama. The home run drama made it one of the best all time ever, which is so crazy. Nobody was hitting anything in the beginning of the game, and then it just blew open at the end. The Astros ended up winning 7-6 in 11 innings, so it took extra innings to make that happen. It was a roller coaster ride. I mean, it really was. So I'm going to say it was incredibly exciting to see the Dodgers come back, and then the Astros come back, and then the Dodgers come back, and the back and forth was, yeah, it was heavy, heavy drama, and there were lots of heroes, but George Springer was the man because he ended up with bashing the winning home run. It was crazy. 2-1 was the count, and he just slammed the ball, so that was it. So thank you, actually, for throwing that up to me, because I think it was a classic, absolutely. All right, let's dive back into it. This one is from Philip, and Philip says, Kate, the politics of today make my stomach turn. And I say it makes my stomach turn because every day it's as if the worst thing is happening and the sky is falling and henny penny. And I wonder how many people are being turned off to what's really happening in the country. And for that, I feel sad. You remember when you had civics class, you would talk about current events. I wonder if they even talk about current events any longer in schools because it's so cantankerous. You know, that's a great question when you're talking about, like you said, every day it seems like mind-blowing information and massive discord and what's going on in Congress and at all levels of government. I mean, yeah, absolutely. And I have a friend who's got two kids that I have lots of friends that have children, but I have a friend I'm particularly close to, and her two children are 14 and 12. And talking to them, the kids do talk about politics in the lunchroom, and they don't really talk about it so much in class, but they're talking about it among themselves, and the conversations are interesting to hear their points of view. Trust me, they see the same thing that you say you're seeing. Again, craziness. All right, let's move to another one. This one is from Booker. Hi, Kate, America Tonight listeners. Wanted to say hello to all of you. Really enjoy listening to America Tonight, wondering what's going to happen when the president goes to Japan and South Korea. North Korea is a pretty scary thing, and obviously that's going to be heavily discussed on the agenda. Of course it's going to be heavily discussed. You got that. So you've got a senior Korean official issuing pretty much a stern warning to the world that they should take literally, that there's a threat to a nuclear weapon above ground in Pyongyang. They've been working on that, etc. And when we see these missile launches, it is disconcerting. There's no doubt about it. Think about this. In September, Pyongyang flew a ballistic missile over Japan. And North Korea carried out 6 nuclear tests. They claimed to have detonated a hydrogen bomb that could fit on top of a ballistic missile. So this, yeah, not good, of course, at all, and frightening, because we can joke about Kim Jong-un, call him the Rocket Man, as the president has done, and people then make fun of it and all that. But deep down, it is a very tenuous and, yeah, absolutely scary, scary situation. Let's move to another one. This one is from Gloria, and Gloria says, Kate, the situation in Puerto Rico was absolutely frightening to me. And the San Juan mayor, Carmen Cruz, apparently has called a multi-million dollar contract awarded to a small Montana firm to help restore power in Puerto Rico alarming. She says it should be canceled immediately. She said because the process wasn't clear, it wasn't transparent, it wasn't moral, it wasn't ethical. Whitefish Energy is the name of the company you're talking about. I remember that. And it's a newer firm, but there's ties to the Trump administration. So, yes, this is a story that's starting to break and starting to have more of a conversation about that. And so, of course, the mayor is saying it's misplaced and shouldn't happen. And Whitefish posted a statement on its Twitter saying that Whitefish Energy feels that asking for transparency is misplaced. What are they afraid we will find? So I don't know. It's crazy because the utility company even, I mean, they feel sensitive about it. They say we have 44 linemen rebuilding power lines in San Juan and 40 more men just arrived. You want us to send them back or keep working. So now there's a back and forth with Carmen Cruz and this energy company. Don't know where it's going to end up, but wow, crazy. Right, how about this one? This one is from Brad. Kate, coming up on holiday season, you've talked about Jeff Bezos before and people ordering things and how that's the new norm and how we're seeing the malls are closing right and left and more stores are closing. Do you have any statistics on that by any chance? I do have statistics on it. Your timing is impeccable of that email. More store closings have been announced in 2017, first of all, than in any other year on record. So since the beginning of January, 6,700 stores in the U.S. have tanked, have folded. That's according to Fung Global Retail and Technology. It's a retail think tank. That's where they crunched all these numbers. They say it beats what happened previously in an all-time high back in 2008, because remember the financial meltdown, so that made sense. Walgreens helped push that number sadly higher. They announced that they're going to close 600 locations. And other chains, Kmart, Sears, JCPenney's, Banana Republic, Ann Taylor Gap, Michael Kors. And now some of those have been melded into other companies, but a lot of brick-and-mortar stores are going to close. And for the reason I said, because so many people are ordering online. So by ordering online, they're not... They don't have brick and mortar stores, and people are ordering, they're not going to brick and mortar stores, so people are ordering more that way. That's part of the reason why. So the economics of having these stores doesn't make any sense anymore. And it is a big change. Some say in the one way it's good, it's better, it's new, it's what people want to do and think of the space it saves, etc. But on the other hand, think of the jobs it takes. And there's definitely two sides to that equation, absolutely. All right, let's go to another one. This one is from Paul, who says, how about this? Kate, I just saw a poll. You talk about being a poll princess, and I thought I would send you a quick email. I saw a poll about... white Americans feeling discriminated against. Have you seen that same poll? I did. The poll was done by NPR and the Robert Wood Foundation and Harvard's Chan School of Public Health, I guess, and they found that the 55% of whites surveyed believe that discrimination against white people exists in the U.S. today. It's the first time I heard that discussed. I mean, not discussed. I'm outside of a poll, I never saw a poll on this. Among whites, 19% say they have been personally discriminated against because of their race when applying for jobs, while 11% say it occurred when applying to or while at college. 13% of whites say they experienced discrimination when being considered for equal pay or promotion at work. According to NPR, income seemed to affect individual responses to the questions of discrimination. So, wow. That's so interesting. And the poll really dove pretty deep, that more than half of white Americans say there's discrimination against whites, again, because of race. It's interesting, the timing of it, etc. When you think of where polls normally go, I think that's pretty big, really. Applying for jobs, being paid equally or considered for promotion, same thing. Applying to go to colleges, so probably talking about quotas, etc. And again, just wow. All right, last one. This one is from Hal. Kate, how much have we dumped into disaster relief? How much has the Senate approved? It's a big number, $36.5 billion. And they agreed to that earlier in the week, and they're looking for a final vote. And if it gets approved, it would be the second installment of disaster aid for the states and U.S. territories smashed by the hurricanes. Thanks to everybody for all of their fabulous emails, and thanks to all of you for listening to America Tonight.
The answer to being in control of your own healthcare is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to LibertyOnCall.org. That's LibertyOnCall.org.
Hello, Mr. Anderson. The NSA has noticed how much time you spend on conservative news sites. We have no choice but to consider you a domestic terrorist.
Tired of your internet activity being monitored by Big Brother? Get VirtualShield.com, the world's easiest-to-use virtual private network. Browse the web anonymously, leaving pesky advertisers and spies in the dust. Get started today at VirtualShield.com. Take advantage of our free 30-day trial. VirtualShield.com. You have the right to remain private.